notifications that's going to come out, information. I'm excited about this. It's going to be really cool. So just be aware. It should be very soon. Where are we at here? Oh, give me, advance me to the next slide. Advance the next slide. There we go. Okay. Here we go this morning. Once again, guys, in hot pursuit of biblical Christianity. Amen. Some of you, I have to say, some of you are in more of like a, yeah, like a mild, not quite a rolling boil, sort of like a medium lukewarm pursuit, just like a tepid pursuit of biblical Christianity, tepid pursuit of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're going to continue on. Now, I think there's a few things that need to be reminded here is, once again, we want to create some expectation. We want to create some expectation. So why don't we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're just going to read a little bit here together. Oh, and give me these pulpit lights if you could. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And now I just want to point out that this is, we're calling these, a lot of people call them the spiritual gifts. I prefer the term the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. As I've said, I believe this is a toolbox, if you will, that the Christian has available to them. We know that in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're told that each one has received a gift. Each one has received at least one gift, and we're to minister it one to another as the manifold grace of God. So each one of us has a gift, whether we realize it or not, whether we feel like we do or not. Some of you say, well, I'm not sure if I have a gift. You do. And we need to utilize them. And as Rob said, look, there's people out there who need to be saved. I am so convinced that there is such a desire, a heart for genuineness in society. People want to see genuinely. They want the Lord to touch them. They don't just need to be saved. They want to be touched by the presence of the Lord. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Very key verse here. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. Now, this is sort of the first gift that we talked about here, this idea of the utterance or the word of wisdom, literally the logos of wisdom. And the word of wisdom, we talked about it and made a few points about it. But today we go on, it says, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Now, it's cool because here it says, to each, to another, and to yet another. And one of the questions that we talked about last week is we say, well, why can't I just be kind of like this lone wolf, you know, within the spiritual realm, and I can have all the gifts, and I don't need to talk to anyone else. Now, it's interesting that this week, as we've been talking a little bit, I chatted with a lot of the folks involved with the sort of the leadership team, and I just said, hey, give me a story, give me an anecdote about operating in the word of wisdom, or excuse me, the word of knowledge. I want you to share this week, because I want people to know what to expect. And like all of them are like, nope, never had one. Not me. And I'm looking around. I'm like, really? You know, now here's the thing I like to say. The word of knowledge is an area that I operate in a lot. And since I was knee high to a grasshopper, I've operated in the word of knowledge. So here's the thing. As I was talking, I'm like, dude, come on. It's easy. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever known anyone? How many people in here can dunk a basketball? No, I don't mean the little short rims. Okay, I mean regulation, 11-foot rim. Ah, and I don't mean over with the fingertips. Okay, dunk. About, oh, you're not from America. This is important where I came from. Okay, so to do this, it's like I can dunk a basketball. Just saying. Okay, now for me, it's easy. Okay, I'm 6'5", and I got hops. Okay, it's not difficult. But there's people who can't dunk a basketball who it is just not possible, ever. Well, maybe if I really try. No. Okay, you're never going to be able to dunk a basketball. And I would say it's easy. Why? Because I'm built to be able to do that. And sometimes there's things that we have gifts in. And these are things that are given by the Spirit. That we have gifts in that we think, well, everybody can do that. And the reality is it's not. God puts us together with other people. You know, here's the interesting thing. There's a couple folks within the fellowship, within the eldership, really in particular, Aaron and Jeremy, who operate in the word of wisdom a lot. They really operate in that word of wisdom where the Lord just gives them a divine solution for a situation. Here's the thing. For me, I don't really operate in the word of wisdom. And I'm always like, oh, I just find that so confusing and difficult. But it's like word of knowledge, boom, no problem. And I wish I had more solutions, you know? And they're like, well, I wish I had the facts. And it's kind of like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe we should, you know, link arms together and kind of work together and see what happens. It's like, oh, like it's almost like it's a body. Instead of having a foot like, you know, just like going along, we could actually operate linked together. So that's the first thing I want you to understand is one, we're going to be doers of the word. We're going to try to create a culture, create a situation where we recognize, expect, pursue, and cultivate spiritual gifts. Now, here's the thing. Do you know why churches don't do this? I shared with you, and it's still... It's still a very traumatic situation where I had to take an assessment test recently where I had to, it was an academic assessment test. I haven't used algebra in 25 years. You know what I mean? It was just so traumatic. I mean, how many of you, and I'm not talking if you're still in school, but how many of you who are maybe in your 20s, 30s, you still wake up in every once in a while you have that dream that you have a test? Like a math test in the morning, and I'm 44 years old. I wake up and I'm like, oh wait, no, I'm not in high school anymore. Okay, wrong. I actually had a math test that morning. You know, it was seriously traumatic. So I go in, and it's like in stepping in there, I realized I don't like to be assessed because I might fail. Now I didn't. Just saying. Okay. But the reality is that's why churches don't create an environment where you're going to be assessed. Is because they want people to come. And I tell you, I wouldn't have gone, you know, I wouldn't take a test if I didn't have to. Now the thing is God does not intend it like that, but we view it like that. The reality is if we create an environment where there's an expectation for spiritual gifts to take place, you might fail. Now, here's the thing. God is not a divine headmaster, okay? He doesn't have a cane. You know, how many of you remember caning? I come from an enlightened country. We didn't cane people. And that's also why we had a terrible discipline situation in schools. But, you know, it's like the headmaster, you know, he doesn't have a cane. He's not stern with a stiff collar and pointy shoes and waiting for you to mess up and scowling at you all the time. That's not what God is. God is a father. He's not just a father. He's a good father. And he's trying to nurture and develop you. He's not trying to assess you. So basically, you need to understand that, yes, there's an opportunity to, in cultivating these gifts, for us to not get it right away. But the reality is that's okay. How many of you think back to when you were learning to walk? How many of you just popped out, you know, and just sort of, boom, and just, hey, how you doing? And it's just sort of walked along. How many of us have taught our kids to walk? You know, and it's like they, you know, they start out on their knees or crawling, and then they sort of waddle around and whatever. And it's like it's a process, isn't it? But if you took like 3 steps and you're like, I'm never going to, you know, and fell over, I'm never going to get this. And it's like every Sunday we'd have to like carry you up the stairs and like put you in your chair because you refuse to learn to walk. You say, Scott, that's foolish. Well, it has to be cultivated. So here's the thing. Understanding is going to bring faith. As we understand these gifts, it's going to bring faith. That faith is going to bring access, and the access is going to bring action. Now, I said this once, and I'm going to say it again. Understanding is way back in the process. It goes understanding, faith, access, action. So many of us, too many of us, are just completely satisfied at the understanding phase. Yes, I understand the idea that there is a gift and access, a manifestation of the Spirit that's called the word of wisdom. I understand that. Now, I'm not pursuing it in the least, but I understand it. That's what I want to change. But if I pursue it, I might not get it right. That's okay. We're creating a situation here where there's people who are going to be able to help with that. Where there's people who have those gifts, who have those abilities, that it's easy for them to dunk the basketball, if you will. And they're going to be able to show you how to do things. Now, I'm not saying you're all going to be able to dunk a basketball, but we're going to help you work in the spiritual gifts. So, word of wisdom, we talked about it last week. Now, this is, once again, it's not just being wise. It's not just being experienced or educated. It's literally having a solution, insight, or strategy that comes divinely, often in an area where we did not have previous experience. So it's a solution, an insight, or a strategy. Now today, we're going to talk about the word of knowledge. And these are not just sort of two names for the same gift. Wisdom is a solution. I have no idea what's going on with that. Wisdom is a solution, but knowledge is facts. The word of wisdom is a solution. It's an insight. It's often a strategy. But the word of knowledge are facts that are given. So this is what I want us to understand. Oftentimes, there's situations where we either need insight for now or into the future, and we often need a strategy for now and into the future. Very important. I can think of a couple situations within the sort of the business side, the financial side of church, where this has really helped out. But at the same time, there's a lot just in our personal lives. There's a lot in talking to people where we need to know and understand this. Just trying to think of the best way really to bring this about. I would say the word of knowledge is to know unknowable information or facts. To know previously unknown information or facts. Now, as I said, this is a gift that I've operated in for most of my life. Rob made a very good point this morning. Something I touched on a little bit last week, and I want to reiterate this morning. These gifts are often innate. They're born into us. I've had the word of knowledge, the idea of the word of knowledge has been with me since before I can remember. And the enemy tries to make you despise your gifts. I have seen this over and over and over. I have experienced this. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about my own experiences with the word of knowledge in a little bit. But I just want, you know, is this idea important? Are people out there trying to understand unknown or unknowable facts? Is this important to people? Oh my goodness. How many psychic networks are there? When I was a kid, the big thing was the phone psychic hotline. That was a big deal. Call the psychic hotline. Get your horoscope. Understand what the future told. I came up across this totally randomly. This was an article, I believe, in Newsweek in the U.S. about 3 weeks ago. And it was on Project Stargate. Have you guys heard of this? Now, this isn't SG-1. This is a real deal. This is a real project that was done by the CIA. And they've made this into a movie. It was called Men Who Stare at Goats. There's been articles on this. Okay, this was a project where the U.S. government was funding psychic intelligence. They wanted to be able to know unknowable information. See, so often in the 50s and 60s, we were worried about what was called the missile gap. That one side or the other would have more missiles than the other one. But then in the 60s and 70s, the U.S. intelligence community got word that the Russians were spending up to 60 million rupees every year on psychic research. And they panicked and they thought, oh my goodness, there's a psychic gap. They might be looking into our meetings and whatnot with their Ouija boards or whatever it would be. I don't know. So they literally started a project, a secret project, at Fort Meade, Maryland. That was looking into, they were trying to do things like remote viewing and stuff, astral projection, and trying to get psychic information. They wanted knowledge. Now here's the thing. There's a biblical principle for people getting information that is unknowable. And it's useful to have. It's useful in a political sense. It's useful in a military sense. It's useful in a business sense. Governments want this. And there's been men and women of God who've been raised up over the years who have affected even modern politics and the course of world history through the gift of word of knowledge. There's a fellow called Rees Howells. He's a very famous biblical intercessor. I have one of his biographies. Rees Howells is a very well-known person from sort of the first half of the last century, and he's credited with changing the course of at least four battles during World War II. He's credited with Dunkirk, the Battle of Britain, and a couple others. That Rees Howells, who is a Welshman, was credited with changing the course of those battles by divine information from God. Praise the Lord. We were told that when Eisenhower was getting ready to launch the D-Day invasions, there was a 45-minute gap of weather. And he felt that God told him to go. And that the Germans thought, there's no way they're going to invade today because the weather's rubbish. And it turned out right before the pre-dawn landings, there was this little gap of weather that he felt that the Lord had told him to go. So is there a precedence for this? Biblically, yes. In modern history, yes. Is it useful? Yes. You can, you know, sometimes you need to boil down what's going on in a situation to understand exactly what needs to be done. This is where word of wisdom can come in, where it's like, look, what's going on, Lord? What's really the issue here? But then at the same time, word of knowledge. What are the facts? What do I need to know? At least an Old Testament example in 2 Kings chapter 5. You can write this down. 2 Kings chapter 5, go through, read it. It's a great example. It's an example of this guy called Gehazi, who was the helper to Elisha. And there's this general named Naaman who comes and gets healed by Elisha, and he offers a substantial reward to Elisha for healing him, or at least giving him insight on how to be healed. Go dip yourself in the river seven times. And when he came up the seventh time, you may remember the story from Sunday school, he was healed. The leprosy he had was healed, and his skin was like a baby skin, it says. Yet when he offered Elisha this tremendous treasure, Elijah says, I don't want your treasure. And so Naaman begins to go back to his own country, and Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, chases after him and said, hey, my master's changed his mind. He actually wants the treasure. And so Naaman is only too happy and gives him heaps treasure upon him. And now Gehazi was not sent by Elijah. He was basically overcome by greed. And he wanted the treasure for himself. And he goes back. And when he comes back and sort of stashes the treasure, sort of walks back in, hey, Elijah, what's going on? And Elijah's like, hey, man, didn't my heart go with you? Like, he's like, I know exactly what you've done. And he says, the leprosy that clung to Naaman will now cling to you and your descendants. A absolute word of knowing unknowable information. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, where facts that were previously unknown are divinely inspired. The Bible tells us to expect this. Where else do we see it? The New Testament, the life of Jesus, multiple times. Probably one of the best known one is John chapter 4. Jesus comes across a Samaritan woman, and he's chit-chatting with her. And he says, and this is always fascinating, he says, hey, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He goes, yeah, you've spoken rightly. You've had four husbands, and the man you're living with now is not, you're not even married to. And her response is, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. You know, Jesus somehow had unknowable insight. And that word of knowledge, Jesus didn't offer a solution there, except be born again. But that word of knowledge led to Jesus seeing that actually the thirst that this woman has is not for water. It's to have her soul quenched. How useful is that? You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, if you bring two buckets, you won't have to come back that often, you know, and it might be. No, he said, look, and the woman, how do we know that Jesus was effective? Because she leaves her bucket, the reason she actually came out there, and goes away to witness about what Jesus did, and she shows up and says, hey, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. And I find this humorous. He witnesses to sort of this lady of probably questionable reputation. And he tells her this, and she goes back into the town and says, hey, this guy told me everything I ever did. And all the men are like, maybe we should check this out. Now you stay here, honey. You know, they're drawn because of this word of knowledge. Where else do we see this? Acts chapter 5, the situation with Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, they came, as Barnabas did, and laid some proceeds from a piece of property. They sold a piece of property, and they brought some of the proceeds and gave them to the apostles. Now remember, Barnabas had done this at the end of chapter 4 in the book of Acts. And when he did, he gave it all. And in order to be sort of seen the same way, Ananias and Sapphira said they gave it all. Now, here's the thing. The issue wasn't that they kept back part of the proceeds. I want everybody to understand that. The Lord never told us to go sell everything and give it to the apostles. Their problem was that they said they gave it all. You see what I'm saying here? And what happens is the apostles are like, hey, this isn't the truth. And thunk, we know, you know, Ananias falls over dead. And a little while later, his wife comes back. You know the story. And the idea is that we see that these guys are being given insight. They're being given knowledge. There's a biblical precedence for that. And it's handy. You know what I'm saying? It can be quite handy. Now, There's a lot of ways that we understand that this gift is available. There's a lot of ways the Lord does this. I want to share a little bit of my own experience with this, and then I'm going to talk about different ways we can expect to hear from the Lord from the Bible. Since I was, you know, since as early as I can remember, I've been talking to people, and I decided this morning I'm not going to say it's all the time because I don't want you guys to freak out. Okay, I don't. But like for instance, I remember being, you know, 4 or 5 years old and talking to an aunt and being like, "How are you doing?" And she's like, "I'm fine." And I was like, "No, she's not." I knew that she wasn't fine. Or somebody's like, I'm so happy for you. And I'm like, no, you're not. You know, like I would know. And it's often an impression I would have, oftentimes around areas of emotion. And I honestly, as a child, I hated it. Because these are adults that I'd be talking, school teachers. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, no, you're not. You don't even like me. It's like, and these are school teachers and you know, aunts, uncles, you know, neighbors, people at the grocery store. And I would have these insights where, look, honestly, guys, in the grand scheme of things, if you ask somebody how they're doing and they say they're fine when they're not, that's kind of what we do in society, isn't it? I mean, how are you doing? You know, I'm kind of down. When's the last time somebody, you know, and I'm just sort of, you know, I have this hole in my heart that I just need filled, you know? I mean, when's the last time you did that to someone? Try it. I dare you. It's a really, you know, how are you? You know, I'm glad you asked. Sit on down. I didn't mean it. I just wanted to get going. But the reality is sometimes there's this discord, this discrepancy between what we say and what we actually feel. And I would pick that up a lot. And it would give me a real sense of questioning whether I could trust these adults. And there's more to it, but it's like it's one of those things where it's like the enemy will so often get in and try to make us despise these things. And I'll tell you what, it worked with me. And there was no context within my upbringing for the Holy Spirit. Like I say, except we'd say the Apostles' Creed every once in a while, and so I knew there was a Holy Spirit. There was no context for spiritual gifts. There was no context for learning to develop these things. Now, we've had words of prophecy over our congregation that our children are going to be one of the greatest resources we're going to unleash on the world. And we have a responsibility to steward them because the spiritual gifts are already manifesting in them in a big way. I know y'all are afraid to use the spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord, we're going to get over that. Okay, they're not. They're just like, I see an angel. You know, it's like some cool stuff is going on. We're watching. They're getting, the youngest member of my family has had the most healings of anyone in our family. You know, we're seeing these things begin to take place. We're seeing that we're pushing them forward. But there needs to be a context set that I didn't have. Can anyone else relate to that? You know, and then you think, well, wait a minute, this is the way everybody is. No, they're not. And I need to know what your gifts are because oftentimes, like I say, I'll have facts. But I need wisdom, and I've got brothers I can go to who can help me operate in that with facts and solutions. Very helpful. So once again, we tend to think to ourselves, well, look, Scott, you know what? The Lord doesn't speak to me. In other words, and we say things like that, don't we? Like, well, the Lord spoke to me. And I mean, I remember sort of as a kid being like, well, I get these impressions all the time, but the Lord's never spoke to me. Like, I was never like, how are you? I'm fine. And the Lord is like, this is incorrect. Actually, this person is really struggling. You know, and I'm like, yes. Okay, you know, it's like, it didn't happen like that. It's like, oh, that's a little weird. Okay, so too often when we hear people like a pastor or someone giving a sermon saying, you know, the Lord spoke to me. That's what we think, don't we? That you're just like, Scott. Oh, yes, Father. Mm-hmm. Bring it, uh-huh. Look, I can't speak for you, okay? I've had that about 3 times in my life. In my whole Christian walk, I can think of about 3 times where I feel like I heard the voice of the Lord. But for the most part, that has not been the case. So I want to encourage you in ways that you may hear the Lord. And I've experienced most of these. Okay? So these we got once again. Myself and Rob and Aaron and Jabron were over last week ago Saturday, doing the prophetic portion of the teaching that Leonie and a few others went over yesterday for the worship portion. So we were with Josh Klinkenberg over in Tauranga last weekend, and Josh had some really good insights. So I got a lot of my input on how the Lord speaks, and it really encouraged me. I was like, oh, I'm not crazy. Because I tell you what, growing up, I thought I was crazy. I remember talking to my mom and being like, Mom, I'm pretty sure that person's lying. She's like, you know, you don't say that about adults. Oh, okay. I must be wrong. Instead of, you know, being able to usher me through and help me to understand, you know, honey, maybe this isn't the best time to point out that the bank teller's lying to us right now. You know, don't say that to your teacher. You know, there's ways that we can go about that, but at the same time, there needed to be some context set. So you can just, I think there's about eight of these. The first thing is I'd like to say that the way that God speaks is through the Bible. Radical. I know. It's through the Word. Oftentimes, as you're going through the Word, God will just sort of speak something to you. Something will jump out, an idea, a concept. When we were going to get ready to come to New Zealand, man, the Lord would just screamed at me about going overseas in the Bible. So never underestimate. I've often said that prophecy comes from devotions. Man, if you want the Lord to speak to you, just get into a devotional habit and he will speak to you. So the Bible. The other thing is, and this happens in the Bible, but it also happens in other situations, something that we could call highlights. Oftentimes as I'm going through the Bible, something will jump out at me. But this can also be, as Rob said, I might be watching a movie. I might be talking to someone and something will just be highlighted in them. And I don't know how else to put it, but it's like either a thought or an idea that it's just highlighted where I go, gosh, yeah. You know, and so these things can be just sort of standing out. The Lord might be speaking. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that we have the mind of Christ. How many of you knew that? Well, I'm not very smart. That's cool. Don't worry about it. You know, neither was Balaam's donkey. You know what I mean? But it's like God still used him. The reality is we have the mind of Christ according to the Bible. And so don't underestimate the fact your thoughts will often be by the, but it just, you're like, well, I don't know, Scott. It sounds a lot like me. Yeah, I know. But it sounds like you because you have the mind of Christ. Be encouraged. See, here's the thing. How many of you, if you have a thought about really, like a very uncharitable thought about someone that's kind of like a jealous, greedy, snipey, snarky thought. Oftentimes we think to ourselves, oh, that's the enemy. I need to rebuke that. You know what I mean? Like we recognize that, well, that's not my thought. If it's bad, it's not from me. But how many times when you have a good thought about blessing someone or encouraging someone, we're like, well, that's a weird thought. Like we don't think, oh, maybe that's the Lord. And maybe he wants me to share that with someone. We just think, oh, that's kind of a non sequitur thought. Where did that come from? Guys, you have the mind of Christ. Don't be surprised when stuff like that comes to you. Your thoughts are not your own. You have the mind of Christ. The other one is we could call it pictures. Now, these are kind of like just movies or you know, you could call them visions that we have in our mind. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10 tells us that the Lord speaks to us in what's called word pictures. I love this because a picture is worth 1,000 words. So it's like God has a choice. He can either write us a short novel, you know, or just give us kind of a picture. And sometimes we'll just sort of get that in our mind, almost like a moving picture, like a with a concept within our mind. Don't be surprised when you get that. A vision, even if it's a snapshot. The other one, and I talked a little bit about this, is feelings or emotions. Sometimes these feelings we get are very emotional. This is the one I tend to have. It's almost like having an empathy for what people are going through. But at the same time, sometimes it's a physical feeling. And I've had this where I've felt like almost like a sympathy pain. And in having that, like getting a sympathy pain, I'll say, oh, wow, you know, like my elbow's a little bit sore. I'm like, you know, does anybody have a sore elbow? You know, and somebody's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's like the Lord will do this sometimes where we sort of feel these sympathy pains. And a lot of times in the area of healings, this takes place. Now, we're told in the major prophets that there's what we call a still small voice. It's an inner voice. 1 Kings chapter 19 talks a lot about this. Now, this is the way I put this. This still small voice, it's a very subtle whisper or impression. This is the not Michael Bay voice, okay? Michael Bay, the director, all the explosions in his movies. Okay, yeah, I did Transformers and stuff like that. Okay, a lot of times we like God to speak in a Michael Bay voice, don't we? Where it's like, you know, turning around, like hair flying in the wind tunnel and the big explosion going off as we walk away in slow motion. Okay, that'd be awesome if God spoke like that. But often what he does is he speaks in what's called a still, small voice. And we need to listen to it. An inner voice. Then, as I said earlier, there's also the audible voice. Now, this is a voice that can be heard with the physical ears. Adam, where are you? You know, that the Lord will speak to people on a rare occasion. The Lord will speak to people in an audible voice. Like I say, I've had this has been very rare in my own Christian walk, but it does happen. Don't be surprised when it does. What we were getting ready to, I was at a very low point in my life, and I just basically wanted to start over. This was about 2 years before we came to New Zealand, and I was going to move to a different part of the U.S. I just needed a fresh start. And clear as a bell, I woke up one morning and immediately, clear as a bell, audible voice, the Lord's like, don't move. Scott, don't move. I was like, what? And I was about 2 weeks away from really sort of pulling the trigger, maybe a week away from pulling the trigger on a couple decisions that would have made it very difficult to not move. But I decided to listen to the voice. And within a year, I was so glad I didn't. Would have been a tragedy. So God will speak with this audible voice at times. Now, it seems that this is abundant. There's abundant examples of this in Scripture. But it does seem in my own experience and the experience of many around me that this is not common. But it definitely does happen. Now, the other one that I think is very similar to the still small voice would be what we'd call the inner audible voice. Sort of an inner voice where we sort of hear the Lord speaking to us in our mind. It's very clear. I'd say it's more clear than the still small voice, which is almost like an impression. But it's a clear audible voice in our mind. It's heard in your head, not with your ears. Another one that I think we sort of neglect, but there are several examples of this in the Old and the New Testament, is angels. In the West, we really tend to despise angels. And so we wonder why we're not getting as much direction. There's tremendous examples within, the Old and the New Testament of angelic messengers. I mean, remember, that's what they are. They're messengers coming and giving messages. I love that part of the book of Acts when, you know, Peter knocks on the door after getting out of prison, and they're like, oh, it's not him, it's his angel. And I'm like, why didn't everybody run to the door? If I was like, oh, hey, guys, it's not Jabron, it's her angel at the door, how many of you would be like, I want to go, you know, I just want to see what it looks like. But they were like, you know, all I can assume from that is that it was just like, oh, hey, are Paul's angel and the other guy's angels out there too? I don't know. Seems like it was common. But angels are messengers. God doesn't send text messages, okay? He sends angels. And finally, really, it would seem that this is the most common way in Scripture in the Old and New Testament that God speaks to people, and that's through dreams. I don't want to be weird, but how many of you don't pay attention to your dreams? Or how many of you wake up and think, well, that was a weird dream? Oh, well, Control, Alt, Delete. Just, you know, pop it out. It's like, instead of kind of going, hey, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show me through this dream? Because I think that there's a lot of things that take place, either, you know, warnings or encouragements that take place where the Lord's sort of showing you. Remember, it says, though I sleep, my mind is awake, the Bible tells us. And I believe that our souls are being ministered to even when we're asleep. I think there's a real biblical context for that. So we need to have that expectation. So look, whether it's the Bible or highlights or thoughts or pictures, or feelings, or the still small voice, or the audible voice of the God, or the inner audible voice, or angels, or dreams, God wants to speak to you. Now, one of the things that Josh brought up, Josh Klinkenberg last week, that I thought was really cool, he said, look, develop a code book. Ask the Lord what he's trying to tell you when he shows you certain things. In my own life, there's a lot of things that are very consistent. I have a couple things, and only a very few, that I recognize are triggers for when God wants to tell me something. And he's good that way. Josh had shared a story of a friend who would feel a wind across the back of his neck, and when he would, he knew that God wanted to heal someone. I heard another story recently where a guy had 16 people in Africa who'd been raised from the dead, and he would do it because he'd go to them and he'd feel their feet. And if their feet were warm, if he'd get a warm sensation in his hand, he knew God wanted to raise that person from the dead. Okay, look, if that guy had like 2 or 3 people, I'd be like, I'm not sure. It's 16 people in like a year and a half. He got born again, and he just starts going around and raising people from the dead. The idea is he learned his triggers. He's learned what's going on. And I'd encourage you say, Scott, well, that's foolish. Maybe that's why we're not seeing people raised from the dead. Maybe we need to learn to be sensitive to these things. Amen? And hear where they're coming from. Now, I had asked, like I say, several people in the team, I said, hey, look, I want you to share this situation. Because for me, when it comes to the word of knowledge, I think everybody must be hearing this. Like the Lord must be telling, and I could give you several examples of situations where I've maybe been chatting with someone and the Lord will just give me a fact about that person's life. And I'm, now look, don't freak out because I don't want to, like after church, be like, hey, what's up? And you're like, not doing nothing. That's not, okay, here, and I'm very serious here. Because one of the things I have found is I have had some people give some very specific words over my life. And as they have, God has never exposed me. Okay, I want you guys to just digest that real quick. I have, we deal with people, we tend to holiday every year with Phil and Ruth Cotton. Okay, many of you know Ruth Cotton. She has one of the most specific prophetic gifts I ever get. And it was the first few days you're holidaying with someone, you're like, what's up? You kind of, or you're playing cards, and you're like, and I remember asking, I'm like, so who's going to win the World Cup? And Darren Welbeck, he's like, God told me he doesn't give me that kind of information. I thought, all right. The idea is, guys, I'm not perfect. And I've had difficulty in my life and tragedy and things where I have been exposed in ways that I didn't want to be. And I guard those things to some extent. And God's doing a lot to heal me in a lot of those areas. But he has never exposed those areas in a way that wasn't positive and that I wasn't ready for. Are you tracking with me? He has always been a gentleman. Now, he's definitely been like, Scott, this is going to hurt a little bit. Are you ready for me to dig? And I'm like, yeah, no. Okay, just do it quick, And it's like, he's never left me exposed. So when I come up to you to chat with you today, if I'm a little tired and I look like I'm not paying attention, don't be like, oh my goodness, what's he? Did God tell him about me cheating on my taxes last year? Yeah, he did. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. Okay. But, it's like, no, he's not telling me that, okay? Probably, though, if I ask you how you're doing and you say you're doing fine, I'll probably have a good idea if you are or not, okay? But I've gotten very good at not tipping my hand. So what I was going to do is Barbara was going to come up and share just a little bit about okay, well, let's, okay, hey, anybody else want to share on a word of knowledge they got? No? Okay, Barbara's going to come up and just talk a little bit because I want you guys to understand, when you understand the ways that God speaks, and what to expect. Here you go. You can use this mic.
She said she's going to go to sleep now. I've got up. Scott just wanted to know if anyone's the Lord has used anyone in the gift of word of knowledge. And like he kind of says, you know, some of the things are so natural you don't know their gifts, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I've had a few things growing up and all that too that I've this one on? And mostly because they've kind of been there all the time. I don't know if I've got the gift of the word of knowledge, but I think they're gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're available, he will give it to you if it's needed, because it's always for someone else, for their either salvation or ministry or for the church or whatever. And so I've never really trusted a lot of them because it's come quite naturally, and I thought, it's just me. Unless it's way off, and I'm not thinking anything like that, and I get it, and I think, oh, God's showing me something. And it's never to, like, even about a person or something, it's never to think, well, I know something about you. You know, it's not that sort of thing. It's like he gives it because it's going to minister, and it's for a purpose. And mainly I would get into a mode, the old way, you get into this spiritual mode. And so the Lord, well, mainly so I can block out anything of my own thinking, and or if you can see people, you know, it's not hard to see an angry person. And the Lord can say, there's a spirit of anger. You think, I can see that, you know, don't really need a word of knowledge. But, mainly would happen when I'm going to pray for people, which, and so I'd, one day we were praying for this lady. We often prayed in twos. And the lady was praying, and then we'd pray something. And we didn't seem, it was like the prayers were just bouncing off. They weren't ministering to this, and she was kind of hard. And I thought, what's the matter? And I just, while the other lady was praying, I just waited, and I said, you know, what's the matter here, Lord? And he said, witchcraft. Well, I ain't about to say that, you know. People don't want to. And but that kept coming as the other lady was praying, and really, you know, like a chicken, I go, is there any witchcraft in your life? And she just burst out crying uncontrollably, couldn't stop. And and the thing is, it wasn't in her life, it was in her family's, her mother's. And from there, then the Lord gave us the wisdom of how to pray for that person. And to be set free. It just broke something. Now, neither of us could have known she had been in, or her mother had been into witchcraft, which that familiar spirit clung on to the family. And then she is wanting to go on for the Lord, and we couldn't get past that barrier. And the Lord just said, you know, witchcraft, and minister to that. And that's the kind of way he speaks to me. And I quite often think they're just God telling me little things to pray about, but you didn't often think they had words, that they were gifts, you know, like discernment and all that. You just thought it's you and him talking and he's showing you things. But, you know, if it comes that naturally, you know, it could be that you're operating in the gift of something.
Look, tremendous insight that Barbara's given us there, because I think to so many of us, I mean, I can relate to that so much, where I felt like this is just, you know, well, everybody knows that. And it comes so subtly. I'd say, you know, Barbara says naturally. I'd say so subtly, you know, where I'd rather have it be like suddenly I get a little woozy, you know, and like my eyes go back in my head and I'm like, yes, you know, and sort of there's like a, you know, and it wouldn't that be way more convenient? But like Barbara said, so often the Lord's like, witchcraft. You know, and you're like, what? Okay. So, you know, could you just hop next door and grab Jabron and tell him to bring the kids in? Susan, thank you. Jabron was given we were praying, and I actually might let her just tell the story real quick, because it's one of those situations where there was a blockage with me. And this was really recently, and it had to do with my health. And the Lord, and we were just praying, trying everything, and nothing was working. And God gave Jerron a word of knowledge, and it was like, boom, immediately we turned the corner in the situation. So is this important? Yes, tremendously important. Is it something that feels very natural? So I want you guys to understand, as we're going through these things, there are going to be situations that are just very natural for you because they've been there from day one that God is teaching you how to work in. And I want you to step out in those a bit more, because it's funny, when what Barbara said, that's exactly how I operate in the word of knowledge. But as I asked everyone else, it was ridiculous. I was sitting here, I'm like, hey, you guys, anybody get a word? And they're all like, it was like, you know, I mean, it's just crickets, man. Nobody. They're like, nope, never. You know, whereas for me, that's how I am with the word of wisdom. I don't often get a lot of solutions for situations. Now, here's something that's really cool. I have noticed that when Jeremy and I pray for people, this happens so often with such consistency. As in particular, when Jeremy and I pray for people, often I'm given some sort of facts about the person, and then Jeremy is often given a picture that is a strategy for that person. And it's really cool. And so it's like the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom working together. So when I can, I go out of my way to make sure that Jeremy and I are sort of teaming up and working together like the dynamic duo. I'm like the Batman and he's like the Boy Wonder. I like that. Be a pastor, unless you can be Batman. You can be Batman. So real quick, as hopefully... Jerron, is Jerron pretty close there? Is she? Okay. I just want Jerron to share this real quick because I thought it was very insightful, and I don't want to steal her thunder. But what we're going to do is we're going to maybe have the worship team come up, and I want them to, we're just going to provide a little bit of sort of space for us to do a little bit of ministry in. And we're just going to take the opportunity to pray for one another again and to see, you know, really concentrating on utilizing this the word of knowledge, to see if the Lord would give us a word of knowledge about someone. And then maybe if there's going to be some wisdom. So in those groups, God might be doing this in various ways. You know, he might be working in wisdom in one person, in a word of wisdom, and in a word of knowledge in another. I want you to share a little bit about the word of knowledge you had the other night.
Every now and again, Scott gets quite asthmatic in the middle of the night.
Is that on?
And a lot of times I feel like it's a spiritual attack. Because we've prayed for just like a physical healing before, and it doesn't seem like that really goes and breaks through. But when we start... really binding things in the spiritual world, it's like all of a sudden his breathing just really starts to improve. And so the other night he was just gasping for breath, and I was really praying and asking God what it was that needed to be addressed. And
we've been doing like the whole praying, you know, healing.
And we've definitely seen a lot more physical healing, so I'm thinking, well, what's going on here? And so I was a lot of times... it has to do with like fears or anxieties. Not that Scott's a particularly fearful person, but there are occasions where things just kind of come in and overwhelm him. And so I was just really praying, Lord, what is it? Like, what is it specifically? We just weren't seeing any breakthrough. I'm like, are you feeling better? And he's like, no. You know, I'm like, okay, you know, God, what is it? And I just felt like there was something the Lord just put into my mind. A memory from like 20 years ago of something that somebody had said and had spoken to Scott that was really discouraging, and it was quite condemning. And I was like, well, that's kind of odd. And so I just mentioned it to Scott, and it was both of us started weeping. Like, I wasn't in particularly in a, you know, sad frame of mind or anything, but as soon as I spoke that out loud, does it have anything to do with this? Both of us just started like, I mean, it was like the Lord was just really ministering to both of us. And so I just said, well, I break that curse in the name of Jesus, because this is not the truth that was spoken. It was a lie, and it had just taken root. And why it manifested at this time, I have no idea. But it was just, it was really neat that I really felt like the Lord just gave me this specific key. And almost immediately, Scott started to breathe. It wasn't until morning that his breath was completely normal, but it was probably 70-75% better within seconds of naming what it was, breaking it, and praying for God's peace to be upon the situation. So it was really cool.
And I think that's the thing, is it's like we've had those situations where, like, look, we're praying, we're not seeing anything happen. A word of knowledge comes. And like Jabron said, this was not something that either of us were like, had been talking about. I mean, I hadn't probably thought of it in probably 15 years. And Jabron's like, do you remember that? And it was just like, it was just totally overwhelming. I'm like, that's it, you know? And she got me, she said, look, we break that in Jesus' name. Then she prophetically spoke the truth over it. And then I forgave that person. And there was an immediate release. So that's one of the ways that we can see this happen. When we're coming up against a wall, maybe that's what's needed. So here's the deal. We're going to bring the worship team. They're just going to begin to just sort of create an environment. I want us to get together in little groups again. I know we hate doing that. Okay, cool. Everybody liked it. Oh, good. We're changing. All right, but just get into some groups just with people around you and just pray for one another. There's going to be areas of need. There's going to be people who need that word of knowledge, people who need to know what's going on. There's going to be people who need wisdom in what to do with what they've been shown. In the space that we provide here through the worship, just take advantage of that and pray for one another. Now, once again, it's going to be the same thing as last week. If you need help, if you feel like, you know, I'm freaking out, it's not our intention to find out, you know, who's going to get picked first for the basketball team. You know what I mean? We want everyone to succeed here. So if you need a little bit of a hand, just raise up your hand. And myself and Jabron and Susan and a few others, we're just going to come alongside you and we're going to help. See if the Lord speaks something to us about the situation. Are we tracking? Okay, I see three people who are tracking with. That's enough. I'll take that. Okay? Lord, we ask that your Spirit would come upon us. Father, we pray that you would give insight right now, that you would give strategies, that you would speak truth, that truth would come through as facts, that truth would come through as insight, that truth would have breakthrough, Father, that hearts would be set free, that lives would be set free, that people would be edified, encouraged, and comforted, Lord, because you are the God of all truth. And you've given us that concept, Father, throughout Scripture, throughout history, that you want to speak to people. You said that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, on my sons and my daughters, and they will prophesy. And so we just ask to speak forth facts and wisdom, right?